Booking an Airbnb, they're not the ones mainly cited by Francesca Albanese in her report today. Now, I had a long conversation with her, UN Special Rapporteur for the Occupied Palestinian Territories, about an hour ago.
In the occupied Palestinian territory, the private sector has been strategic in displacing and replacing the Palestinians, displacing them through the use of weapons, bulldozers, so equipment that has served to clear the area and then segregate the Palestinians, encircle them, surveil them. And the companies, because of this, should have unplugged, should have withdrawn themselves from this system. So by staying, they are already responsible of a series of violations. However, since October 2023, this economy has shifted because, for example, the weapons that Israel was using to control, to surveil the Palestinians have been using for targeted killing, and they have even been modified for that. And so the surveillance system, the big tech has provided the data, especially Palestinian data that has been used to target indiscriminately the Palestinian population. The bulldozers that were used to destroy or to build villages and colonies in the West Bank have been used to pulverize Gaza and even to crush bodies of Palestinians. This is the evidence that I've been collecting. And of course, there is the financial sector that has been the scaffolding.
I just want to understand, because obviously Israel would not describe events in the way that you're describing them. It would disagree with the way or take issue with the way that you are setting it out. But what I want to know is, what is the legal position of companies? Are companies allowed to trade with the Israeli government? Or are you saying anybody who trades with the Israeli government, does business with them, is in effect enabling the Israeli government to do the things that you accuse the Israeli government of doing?
It is impossible to distinguish the economy of the occupation, which is integral to the growth and development of the Israeli economy, the state of Israel, same as the economy of the Bantustan and the economy of the apartheid of South Africa. Apartheid was indistinguishable from the rest of the state. Therefore, to your question, I answer, yes, of course, this is the time to cut ties with the state of Israel, because it's also a state which is accused of committing genocide, accused of committing war crimes and crimes against humanity in international proceedings. This is something that even South Africa, apartheid South Africa, has never faced, and still it faced sanctions.
Right. Now, would companies not be entitled to say, if governments are quite happy to do business with Israel, even for their arms manufacturers to sell arms to them, it's not the position of business to take that on with Israel. Western companies are simply doing business with Israel in the way that the elected representatives are. So it doesn't make sense for them to kind of lead the pack in saying we're going to disengage from Israel. I'm putting the point that companies might make to you.
What an interesting argument, because the UK government is selling weapons in violations of international law to Israel and is partaking into crimes, then everyone can commit crimes. In any case, both government officials and company executives are accountable. So again, I'm not a judge. I'm just reading the facts.
But now, you've just said it. Business officials, business executives are accountable. So is it your contention? Are you saying that business executives could find them holed up in court as essentially enabling? Yeah. Go on.
Absolutely, yes. But look, I mean, it's not me saying, I'm not an oracle. I'm just saying this has already happened. There have been defining moments in history. And by the way, it's already happening because there are already conscientious civil society actors and lawyers who have started to take legal action, strategic litigation against some of these unscrupulous businesses.
And in a way, a lot of the arguments, a lot of the premises of your argument, that it's genocide, that it's settler colonial project, that it's apartheid, a lot of these phrases are contentious, are disputed. Are you really saying it's all settled enough that this is a genocide and a settler colonial project? That we don't have to worry about arguing about that anymore, that that's all done and dusted. It's now just over your involvement in that. It's not about
disputed
whether it is.
Disputed by whom? Excuse me?
Well, disputed by the American government, for example, who think you should be sacked from your rapporteur role. Yesterday, they said you should be sacked.
Right. No, interestingly, because indeed, what the government, which is the main provider of the weapons, has more value than dozens of special rapporteurs, which have concluded that it's genocide, and Amnesty International, and Israeli scholars, Israeli genocide scholars. And you know what? Even the Lemkin Institute on the Prevention of Genocide, and also it's countless, the number of scholars who are saying that.
No, I understand. I'm simply saying, I asked the question, is it your view that it is settled? That question is settled. Because the ICJ has not yet settled that question.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm taking it that you say the question is settled. That's not an argument anymore.
No, let me answer it. First of all, this is not what you asked. You said that it's disputed and it's not settled. So let me tell you, the ICJ advisory opinion has recognized as a matter of urgency in 15 days since the beginning of the genocide cases, which should have been dismissed. We should have been dismissed hadn't there been any fumos, any risk of genocide. So within 15 days, based on what Israel had done in 3 months, he recognized the risk of genocide, the plausibility of genocide. Now, according to the ICJ jurisprudence, the moment it's clear that there is a risk of genocide, member states with influence need to exercise all possible leverage to prevent genocide, because under international law, the Genocide Convention imposes on states like yours and mine an obligation to prevent genocide. How do you prevent genocide if you need to wait for years for a trial? This is why it doesn't need to be settled. Although I also want to recall that there is no doubt that the Aboriginal population of Australia, the Native American population of the United States and of Canada have been genocided, and it was never established through tribunals. It was established through expert opinion, and so the genocide of the Armenians. So, excuse me, we can keep on kicking the can in the air. For me, it's fine if you want to call apple and pears, you, the United States, whomever. We need to stop it. This is what I'm calling member states and citizens too.
You are speaking it in a very plain way, and you're using language that is a strong language that many will say, here's somebody who's actually just telling it as it is. Is your position safe? We do have the American government saying that you should just be kicked out. They don't agree with you. They call you anti-Semitic. Is your position safe?
No one is safe when there is this brutality going on or going around, and this bullying, threatening member states, threatening journalists, threatening lawyers, threatening everyone. No one is safe. I'm not safe. And still, it doesn't matter, because what I've seen over the past 20 months have made this responsibility that I carry for free, and just in the name of justice and accountability on a mandate that was given to me by the Human Rights Council. This is a defining moment of our history, and I will never be able to look at my children, knowing the position that I have in 10 years, and say, I had this position and I just played the useless bureaucrat, as most people around the world with in position of power.
I'm interested you say that, because you, this report, today's report, is all about the private sector. But really, I mean, you must feel very strongly, given where you are, you must feel very strongly about governments. I mean, whose responsibility is to, as you say, deal with genocide, and not, in your view, not doing so.
The reality of the matter is that today there are multinationals who have accumulated more wealth than sovereign states' GDPs. And so they have more influence than my nation and your nation together. And therefore, this is why, in the UK, it's incredible how many people take the street and protest. And still, the government continues to ignore what the people want. Why? Because there are other interests. And so this is, when I say it's a defining moment, this is the moment for people who do not control weapons, who do not control large wealth, who do not control algorithm, to realize that what's happening to Palestine, it's happening with our passive complicity.
I want to ask you one last question. I just wonder whether you followed the Glastonbury Music Festival in the UK. Did you hear about what happened there and the controversy over one act in particular who were calling for death to the IDF? And it's been quite a big debate here about their language.
I've also followed the fact that an organization which used very strong means, I wanna underline, like Palestine Action, is being accused of terrorism. This is something that is shocking, and special rapporteurs have taken a strong stance against it, including myself. But I followed, and I do agree that I'm shocked by the fact that the chant has attracted more condemnation than the dismemberment and amputation of kids. What a world.
That is Francesca Albanese, the UN Special Rapporteur for the Occupied Palestinian Territories, who published a report today on the role of private companies in Israel.